Lawyer demands admittance. The lawyer was heard to say, I've got my opinion of how a chief of police should conduct himself. I had a perfect right to be admitted by that policeman downstairs, the right as a citizen and as a lawyer. He told me he had orders to keep me down from here. He even called my name.
I've got my opinion, too, of how a police department should be run, said the chief. I did not give instructions to keep you from this office. I ordered that the crowd be kept away.
I wasn't crowded, was I? Several words illegible. Soon the argument was over, however, and better feeling prevailed. The cross-questioning was resumed in presence of the subject's counsel. During the course of the questioning, Detective Scott, who is an operative of the Pinkertons, began interrogating Frank. The Pinkertons were employed on the murder Monday night by the National Pencil Company through the suspected president, hired to learn the truth. Frank turned upon the Pinkerton man. You're acting mighty funny. You were hired by me, if you remember. Why should you ask me such questions?
I was put on the case by my superiors, he answered. They were employed to catch the murderer. That was what I was instructed to do. If you are the murderer, then it's my duty to convict you, the detective replied.
At the close of the third degree, he was nervous and plainly agitated. He clung to the arm of friends as they ascended the three flights of steps to the prison. A charge of suspicion was entered against him. He first was locked in a cell. Later, a guard was placed over him, and he was removed to the detective's quarters. Frank's wife arrives. While her husband was being sweated by the detectives, Mrs. Frank, the beautiful young wife of the factory president, tearful and anxious, came to police headquarters. She was accompanied by friends. Denied admission to the floor on which her husband sat, she was led, weeping bitterly, into the probation officer's room. She did not remain long. She left before the third degree was finished and never returned. Frank was unaware of her presence at police station. She had been notified of his arrest by friends who summoned her over telephone. Detectives predicted a collapse of the Negro watchman throughout the day. He plainly showed the effect of the 2 days of terror experienced in one continuous round of interrogation. His nerves were shattered, he trembled fearfully, and apparently verged on a breakdown. It is said that the arrest of Frank resulted from evidence dropped by the Negro suspect. At 4 a.m., he was awakened in his cell and questioned grillingly by Detective Black. From then on, the day was one of incessant interrogation. Handwriting examined. Specimens of the Negro's handwriting, according to microscopic examinations of handwriting experts, compare favorably with that of the notes found beside the victim's body. It was rumored around headquarters that the mysterious package carried by Detective Black when he returned to the station after an automobile trip contained a bloody shirt of the Negro prisoner. It was said that he could not give a satisfactory explanation. Habeas corpus proceedings were instituted in behalf of John M. Gant, the young bookkeeper arrested Monday afternoon in connection with the Fagan murder. The prisoner was transferred to the county jail and placed in charge of the state. Gant not guilty. Chief Lanford said Monday night that he had abandoned the theory that Gant was implicated in the crime. He was merely a victim of circumstantial evidence, it was said, and he is believed to be entirely guiltless. He probably will be released within a short while. No one answered the Constitution's story asking for information relative to Mary Fagan's whereabouts on the afternoon of her murder. Evidently, she was not seen after entering the factory doors at 12:01 o'clock Saturday afternoon to draw her salary. It is the theory of the police that she never emerged alive from the building. Psychological methods failed to get confession. Confident that he could wring a confession from Newt Lee, Francis E. Wright, a sales manager living on Pulliam Street, came to police headquarters early last night and conferred with detectives. The prisoner had just finished undergoing rigid questioning from a number of detectives. Wright was admitted to the locked room in which the Negro sat handcuffed to a chair. Chief Lanford introduced the newcomer as a minister, sent to console the Negro. The door was locked, leaving Wright and the prisoner together. The latter sat nervous and fidgety, his eyes roving in every direction. The white man began,
"You haven't long on earth."
"Newt, you haven't got long on this earth. Only a few days. They're going to get you. They've already got you. What little time you've been allotted for life, you've better put it to good advantage.